So last week, if you weren't here, you'll be able to go to our share drive if you want to hear last week's teaching, because we're picking up on last week. And I'll apologize up front today. We're not going to finish on redemption today either, but we will finish the book of Ruth today. All right, so we're in the book of Ruth. We looked last week at how God has given us this tremendous example in the book of Ruth of redemption. And last week, Vicki had redeemed this coupon. We had this coupon, and this coupon said that she was going to get one free booklet of Jesus Christ the Redeemer. It was redeemable at a local fellowship, which happened to be right here. So Vicki received to herself, because she redeemed this coupon, she received that book. Well, we have great redemption, and the book of Ruth gives us an example of what redemption is. And we're going to pick up in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, please. So if you'll go to Ruth, go to chapter 2. We saw that Ruth was not of the children of Israel, that she actually was from a group of people who, for the most part, despised Israel, and they were worshipers of strange gods, idolatrous people. God's great grace was upon her. And in chapter 2, we read this in verse 10. It says, "Then she fell on her face, and she bowed herself to the ground and said unto him," to Boaz, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Remember, she was a Moabitess, a group of people that were despised by God's people. Now look at verse 11. "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the day of thine husband, death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." He didn't know them before. Verse 12, "The Lord recompense thy worth, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." How awesome that is. And remember, Ruth had said to Naomi, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." So here Ruth switched from being from the Moabite background, and she took upon herself to believe this God that was of the people of Israel. She came to God and his people, and God gave her grace and mercy. And we pick up now in chapter 2 and in verse 13. Okay. "Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly or kindly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like one of those thine handmaids." She wasn't like the rest of them. They were of Israel. They had belonged, and she had come from a foreign family, from a foreign group of people. Look at verse 14. "And Boaz said to her, At mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar, in the wine. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her," or passed to her, "parched corn." We saw last week that corn, of course, this word corn isn't even in the text, but corn in the Bible is put for grain, okay? "And she did eat and was sufficed and left." In other words, she had some left over. What he passed to her, she ate, she was full, and she had some left over, right? Now, it's pretty unusual for Boaz to do this. First of all, she, being one of the gleaners, was of a different social status from the reapers. The reapers are those who worked for Boaz. And so that was not normal that she would be able to be with them. But he also said to them that she could eat of that food and she could drink of their drink. Look at verse 15. It says, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Remember we read last time that they had given the corners of the fields to the gleaners and whatever was left in the field, but he gave her free rein to glean. And verse 16, and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Drop a few on purpose, all right, just for her to pick up. Doesn't it just remind you of God, how kind he is to us? You know, we don't deserve anything except for what he gave us in Christ, because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. But he just sometimes just leaves stuff for us, you know, drop a few off of it. Verse 17, and she gleaned in the field until the evening and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. You know what an ephah is, Lucy? No, you don't. Most people don't. Everyone doesn't agree, but it was a lot, okay? It was gallons worth of barley. One of the translations, I think it's the International Version, it says about a week's supply of barley. That's a lot of barley that she got that day. Well, look at verse 18. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Remember, that's Naomi. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. So besides the barley that she had gleaned, she also gave her what was left over from her meal. We call it a doggy bag. Right? She gave her a doggy bag. This is all that was left over after I ate, so she could eat it right then. She gave it to her mother-in-law and she said, here, this is for you. Verse 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. She knew this just wouldn't normally have happened, that she'd have all this. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Near of kin meant that he was a relative. And then remember last week we looked at the word for kinsmen is used in two different ways. One of them is near of kin. It's actually a different word in the Aramaic or the Hebrew. In this verse also is that last word, he is our next kinsman. And that word kinsman is the word that's most often translated in the Bible, redeemer. He is our kinsman redeemer. Here, Naomi realizes after she's left the land of the Moabites, came back home, and here Ruth was gleaning in this field, and it turned out to be her near kinsman, a relative of her husband's, and also the one that had the right, or one of the ones that had the right to redeem Ruth. How cool is that? By the way, the Darby translation says, the man is near of kin to us, one of those who have the right of our redemption. By the word, this word redeemer, a kinsman, is the same word that's used in Job. I know that my redeemer liveth. That's that same word, redeemer. Okay? So, chapter 2, Ruth chapter 2, verse 21. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said to me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter-in-law, that thou go out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. So barley harvest, remember when I told you that was? Around the time of the Passover, right, the time of the Passover. This year, that was around April timeframe. The wheat harvest, she stayed in his field through the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest was during the time of Pentecost, right? And how many days is there between Passover and Pentecost?
50 days.
Right. So she was gleaning in this field a long time, from barley until the wheat harvest had come in. It says, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? This is really beautiful. This word rest is a word for rest or security. It also is translated home. You guys who have a Spanish Bible, it says home there, right? It says home. Isn't that cool? Shall I seek for you a home? Since her husband had died, Elimelech, it was Ruth's responsibility to find a husband for her daughter-in-law. And so she did. She said, shall I find him one? Verse 2. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, and whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Okay. Winnoweth in the threshing floor. Do you know what that means? I'll tell you. Yeah, barley, right? You've all had barley. Have you had barley? Okay, so barley is a grain, right? It grows on the, you know, out there in the dirt. It grows. It doesn't just grow at Kroger. And then what they would do is they would take it and they'd bring it to this place called the threshing floor, usually a big rock or rocky area on a hill. And what they would typically do is they would dump it all there, and then they would have oxen walk around on top of it and step on it. And what that would do is that would separate the grain, that kernel, the grain, from the chaff, the outside part, right? You know, kind of like wheat. You know how wheat has the little grain and then there's the husk part? And they would walk around on it and they'd crush it all down. And then they had these things called winnowing forks. And they would take that after the oxen had tread on it and they would throw it up into the air. Now remember, they're on a hill. So the breeze would come by and it would blow the chaff, and then just the good grain that they wanted would fall back down onto the threshing floor. Kind of a cool system, right? So the oxen would come, tread it all down, then they'd take the stuff, throw it up, the chaff would blow away, and then they would burn that. And you know there's references in the Bible about burning the chaff. That's what it's talking about. And then the good part, the grain part that you eat, that's what was left. So they were there. So it was at that time that the grain was already pulled in, and now they're going to take it so that they could use it after that. Verse 3. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Eating and drinking means he's finished his meal. Right? So some people read these verses and they really don't understand them very well. It says, you go down and wait until he's finished. When it says in the Bible, eating and drinking, it doesn't mean he got drunk. It means that the meal was over. They would eat, then they would drink. And after you've eaten and drunk, you're done. The meal's over. Okay? Verse 4. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. So he said, look, after he's done that, he's done for the night, he's going to lie down. The owner typically during this time would stay with the grain in case somebody wanted to come and rob it, right? So there he was, completely set, and he would be there. So she told her where he would be. And she said to him, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Lying down at his feet was a sign of surrender to him. It was as if, you know, she's saying, I am your handmaid. In verse 7, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap. It says of corn, of course, we know it's barley, right? And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He was a little surprised, this Boaz. So here's what happened. Here he was. He went to lie down to go to sleep. He'd already eaten. It says when he was merry, the word merry just means that he was satisfied. He's done eating. He went to lie down. And what they would do is they would lie down and the men would take the mantle that they wore and they'd cover themselves with that. And so what Naomi told Ruth to do was, you lie at his feet, a sign of subservience to him, that he would be your protection, and you take a little bit of that mantle that's on him and you put it over you, right? That's what she did, all right? There's nothing weird going on here. This is not some weird situation in the threshing floor, okay? And if you go down to verse 9, it says, remember, it said he was afraid. Doesn't mean he was afraid. He just woke up. He just woke up, like, you know, he was alerted by it. Maybe she tickled his feet when she, you know, put that thing over him, and he just jumped. And he looked, he goes, what in the hell's going on here? And he looked at her, verse 9, he said, who are you? You know, there's somebody at his feet. He should be on TV, I think. And she answered, I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. She said, look, you are a kinsman redeemer. She said to him, you have the right to redeem me. It's really something amazing. So she said, put your skirt. Again, that's just the mantle that's talking about there, okay? Verse 10, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Man, oh man, she's the only person in the Bible referred to as a virtuous woman. A Moabite woman that Boaz saw spiritually what this woman was. And he says, you're a virtuous woman. He must have known a few more things about her than we did. But how cool is that? Remember, the whole town talks, right? Okay, verse 12. Not much different from Atlanta, Georgia. And now, it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there's a kinsman nearer than I. Now remember, the law was that if someone was married to somebody else's brother, that brother had to marry her if he wasn't also married. He had the obligation to do that and to raise up seed unto that name of his dead brother. Remember, his only brother also died. And so here, Boaz was a near kinsman, but he was a cousin. And the cousin has the right, if he wants to redeem. But there was someone who actually had was closer, so had an even closer right. And that's what he's talking about here. They didn't have an obligation, and she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said to her, let it not be known that a woman was come into the floor. Verse 15, and he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. So here it is. She goes off again with all this grain. And now we look at the rites of redemption. Look at verse 16. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou? This who are you just meant, how did it go? How did it go today, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. And then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. So she said, he's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate. The gate is talking about the gate of the city. And many of you know the gate of the city was where the judges sat, right?
Right.
The judges sat at the gate, and that's where they gave judgment. The people would come to them with their issues from the city, and these counselors, these judges, would judge. So it tells us that Boaz had a place, a seat at the city gate, meaning that he was a judge of that city, respectable man. And then it says, he sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, "Ho, such an one, turn aside and sit down here." Friends ever say that to you, Ray? "Ho, such an one." No, they don't say that, do they? It says in verse 2, and he told 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit you down here." He's ordering everybody around. Verse 2, it says, he said, told them to sit down, and they sat down. Verse 3, and he said to the kinsman, "Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, to let you know, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I'm after thee." And the guy says, "I'll redeem it." Right? So here he sits the guy down. He says, "Look, such an one, you are the closest. You can have this inheritance if you want." And the guy says, "Okay, I'll take it." Kind of neat. I think the word redeem is 5 times in that verse. Verse 5. Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess." In other words, you have to also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." He didn't tell me about the girl. He said, "I wanted the land, but you didn't tell me about the girl." And he said, "I can't do it." So he says, "You have the right, Boaz, to redeem." You know, if you ever want to look up redemption, there's a bunch of things that are required for redemption. One of them is they had to be near of kin. So the nearest of kin had the first right. The next one, he'd have to be able to redeem it, you know, have the ability to. The third one is he couldn't have any lien or calamity against himself, right? So he had to be free to be able to redeem it. And the last thing, he had to want to. Okay, verse 7. Now this was the matter in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Right? Sounds weird to us. Oh, if I don't want to redeem it, and my cousin can, I take off my shoe and I hand it to him. Verse 8. Therefore, the kinsman said to Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said to the elders and unto the people, "You are witnesses this day that I've bought all that which was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion and Mahlon's," those were the two dead brothers, "of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of the place. You are witnesses this day." So Boaz did the role of a kinsman redeemer. Verse 11. And the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We're witnesses. And the Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let the house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." So this was a whole thing they did to just say, "We wish you the best." So, you know, I won't go into all the details, but it is kind of interesting all the things that they're referring to here. You think the genealogy of Jesus Christ is so squeaky clean? There are a lot of nefarious people in that bloodline, I tell you what. And that's kind of what they're referring to there. It's pretty funny. Verse 13. So, Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. What a nice story, isn't it? And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord." So these are the women of the town. Okay? They say to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." Isn't that nice? These women said, "Look, Naomi, God has really blessed you. God has now given you a grandson. This woman who loved you, Ruth, who wouldn't leave you, who stood with you and stayed with your God, she's now fulfilling this promise to you that you could be fulfilled." Verse 16. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. And look at what it says here. He's the father of Jesse, the father of whom?
David.
David. Verse 18. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begot Hezron. You all remember this, right? Hezron begot Ram. There's a good name for a son, Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Not so much Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. I don't know how you pronounce it. These aren't names from my neck of the woods. Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. So Boaz was King David's great grandfather. And who do you think came in that line of David?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. So this Moabitess woman from the enemies of God, she was of the people that were worshiping idols, that God told Israel, stay away from them. Somehow, this woman becomes part of the line that of which came Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? Talk about redemption. Go to Romans chapter 5. We're not going to finish up today about Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, but we're just going to look quickly here at what we got because of that. Romans chapter 5. And look at the grace on her life. Look at the mercy on her life. That she could possibly be redeemed and possibly be part of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. It says in chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Sounds sort of like Ruth. She came from the wrong side of the tracks, but she got redeemed. Much more than, verse 9, "Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." God took us also, and he redeemed us. Ruth said, "Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." When we made the decision to make Jesus Lord and to believe that God raised him from the dead, we made that decision that we could also be redeemed. Let's go to Colossians. That's where we're going to close. Colossians chapter 1. What an amazing record that God gives us as an example of redemption and the beauty of it that it's within the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet." You know, that means made us
adequate.
adequate or made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Kind of like Ruth and her children now, of the inheritance of Israel and of the bloodline. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? When Ruth went from being that Moabitess woman to now being having an inheritance among God's people, she was taken from that darkness and into the light, like God told us in the manifestations today. And then hath translated us, he moved us, into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're no more of the kingdom of darkness where we were before. We are now into the kingdom of his dear Son, in verse 14, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. See, Boaz had the Christ line in his soul, because of his bloodline would come Jesus Christ. Ruth had the Christ line in her body, that she bore someone that was of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. We have God in Christ in us, in the Holy Spirit that he gave to us, which is eternal life. How awesome it is what God did for us and the great right of redemption. For us, it's what Hebrews calls eternal redemption. Next time we get together, we'll talk about that, okay? Yeah.